As Jesus walked alongside the Galilee Sea, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, throwing fishing nets into the sea, because they were fishermen. "Come, follow me," he said, "and I'll show you how to fish for people." Right away, they left their nets and followed him. Continuing on, he saw another set of brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with Zebedee, their father, repairing their nets. Jesus called them, and immediately they left the boat, their father, and followed him. When he had used up his resources, a severe food shortage arose in that country, and he began to be in need. He hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him into the fields to feed pigs. He longed to eat his fill from what the pigs ate, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, "How many of my father's hired hands have more than enough food? But I'm starving to death. I will get up and go to my father and say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I no longer deserve to be called your son. Take me on as one of your hired hands.' So he got up and went to his father." Meanwhile, Saul was out still spewing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest, seeking letters to the synagogues in Damascus. If he found persons who belonged to the way, whether men or women, these letters would authorize him to take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. During a journey, as he approached Damascus, suddenly a light from heaven encircled him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice asking him, "Saul, Saul, why are you harassing me?" Saul asked, "Who are you, Lord?" "I am Jesus, whom you are harassing," came the reply. "Now get up and enter the city. You will be told what you must do." The word of God for the people of God.
Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Wow, last 3 weeks, I covered over 1,000 miles, but it started with Sandy, Deline, and myself attending annual conference in Glendale, and it was probably one of the best annual conferences I've attended in a while. It was good. We had a good time of worship. We had a day of learning where we learned about some of the qualities of a fruitful church and some ideas that might be sparked in the life of the church. We also were introduced to a new mission statement for our annual conference, which is called by God to be a courageous church, loving like Jesus, acting for justice, united in hope. And then we had table discussion around each of those topics. And so you'll be hearing them, because I will do a sermon series on each of those elements, so you kind of understand where our annual conference is heading. And then we did a mission project. There were several options. People could go sing at a retirement community, and there were some packing boxes of the items that people brought, that we brought out here. Well, there was a whole bunch brought to annual conference, and so they had to sort through all those and work on the distribution to UMOM and TMM and the ministry up in Las Vegas as well. And there were a few others, but the one that Sandy and Delina and I did, it was called Poopy Bags. And so we were really interested in what might that entail? Well, Poopy Bags is a reference to IV bags. And the ministry was to do covers for the IV bags so that when children were receiving chemotherapy or some other IV therapy, it wouldn't be so terrifying, because, you know, the bags and all that are kind of scary. And so the covers are, You know, I did one with butterflies and bunnies, and some people were doing R2-D2 from Star Wars and superheroes and funny faces. And so then they make a bag out of it. And so that's what we did. There were about 20 of us in our group. We made over 300 covers. And that was one morning. So it was a lot of fun. And Delene and Sandy and I thought maybe there's something that we can find locally. Might not be the same thing, but a similar idea. Because what we liked about it was the fact that it didn't require any real physical labor, you know, physical, but it was something we could sit around and do together and eat cookies, drink coffee, laugh and talk, and still find a ministry like that maybe in our community. So that was really fun. And so that was annual conference in a nutshell. Then I went on vacation. Started out at Mom and Dad's, and I ended at Mom and Dad's. It was my mother's 80th birthday, so we had a dinner with her. And that was kind of funny in and of itself. We went through three different things before we finally ended up at her house, but my brother came over and cooked, which was a good thing because the air conditioner broke. And so while we're eating her birthday dinner downstairs, the air conditioning people are upstairs because the unit's in the attic. And so they had to take the unit apart and bring it, the old one out, and then take the other unit apart, put it up there, and put it back together. So we had bang, bang, bang and all of that during dinner. But it was still fun with the family. And I did some chores because, you know, that's why parents have children. So they get free labor. And Dad and I played our Wii golf. So it was fun with the folks. Then I went up to Tahoe. Lake Tahoe is amazing. If you've never been to Lake Tahoe, it's beautiful. And I think my two biggest highlights in Lake Tahoe, besides the scenery and the fact that it was 38 degrees in the morning and I relished every moment of it, I went parasailing and got up to the 500 feet mark, which it's incredible. It, you know, because it makes you nervous to go up high, but I never was nervous. It was just so easy and quiet. It was beautiful. The other one that was really a funny experience and a frightening one at the same time, this place I stayed was right near a neighborhood. So I went walking every day and didn't really think much about it because it was a neighborhood. So after I'd been there about 3 days, I got up one morning, went for my walk, and I'm walking by this house, and I'm just tootling along, and I stopped. And I went, wow, I've never noticed that before. That is a really realistic-looking bear ornament in the front yard. I mean, it's from me to that chair. I mean, as I'm looking at it, and then it moved. And, you know, folks talk about having a stress test. I was going through one right then and there, like that. And so I walked casually away. I did say good morning. Thought it might help. And so went to a next house over. They had cars in their drive, and I went between the two cars and kind of stood there to see what the bear was going to do. And the bear went off on its the other direction. But even still, there's moments where I feel a little flutter when I tell that story, because that was that's the closest I've ever been to one that I'm on the that it's not on the opposite side of a fence. But I saw two more after that. So, but I was and again in neighborhoods, it's just amazing. One was climbing over a wall, and the other one was in the dumpster at the lodge I was staying at. It was inside the dumpster, one of those big metal ones. And it was like watching a spooky movie, because the top would come up and you'd see this figure kind of move, and then it would go back down, and it finally climbed out. But very interesting. So quite an experience in Tahoe, but indeed beautiful. I do want to thank Nofel and Wendy for filling in while I was gone. I appreciated that. So when I finished my vacation last Sunday, I wrapped it up by attending my home church, which is Green Valley United Methodist up in Henderson. And they received a new pastor, Pastor Jim. And Pastor Jim, he spoke about pivotal moments. Now, he's doing a three-week series on pivotal moments, and he started this past Sunday giving a slideshow of his life. So that's, it was just basically, here I am and this is what I'm about. Not a faith-based thing so much as just, here I am. He even had the obligatory picture of the bare bottom. You know, so he told his story. Very nice gentleman. And he even asked the children if they knew of any pivotal moments in their lives. And one little girl, she raised her hand and she said, I was born. Most definitely a pivotal moment for her and for her family. And so as he completed that, he invited us, as we too went into a time of Holy Communion, to think about the pivotal moments in our own lives. And so I've been doing that, as he invited me to do. And I'm going to share a few with you. And so I wanted to talk about these pivotal moments that stick out in my mind. And like you and me, I'm sure we have many of them. But the ones that really stick out in the early years of my life were that my dad worked for what I call mobile oil, because he got transferred a lot. And the first transfer was from Denver to Kansas City when I was 4 years old. And that one was pivotal to me because for the first 4 years of my life, my grandmother was my daycare. And so it wasn't just moving, it was moving away from family, from that rooting. And so for me, the first few moves that we did were very difficult because I was uprooted. But over time, I began to get used to that. And the thing that I have found with those pivotal moments is now I can move very easily because I've learned how to adjust to the change. And I think I'm up to 17 moves. So it's been a few, getting used to them. And then another one was the birth of my baby brother. I was 5 when that happened, so I was no longer the only child. And so I became a big sister, and that's been mostly a good thing. He's a pretty good guy. Another one happened when I was in grade school. It was the death of my grandfather. I was 10 years old. We were extremely close. And I remember leaving his house in Denver in June, thinking I'd see him in Thanksgiving time. But one August morning, my mom and dad woke me up to tell me he had died. And I remember from that moment on that life was fragile, and death and loss were real. And ever since then, I don't think there's ever been a time where I've not said I love you to my family when I leave them. It was a pivotal moment. Other pivotal moments in my lives have been graduations, the choice of a college and a major, the decision that I made to stay with my grandmother after she broke her hip and to be her caregiver, the same grandmother who took care of me, instead of joining the Coast Guard. And all the successive vocational choices I made. I even made a decision back in my 20s to turn down a marriage proposal. And I often wonder if I had known that would be the only one I'd ever get, if I'd have answered differently. Pivotal moments. People that come in and out of our lives as well every time and season. Because we're touched by people that maybe are there for a little time or a lot of time. And so there's been lots of pivotal moments, pivotal people that have made me the person I am and have shaped my life. We all have had those pivotal moments. Think about the ones that you've had. I imagine some are similar to mine and some are unique to you, and they have shaped who you are. And they've even led you to where you are today. But I've left out one element of those pivotal moments, because this morning we celebrate what I believe is the most pivotal moment in human history. You know, when we do the communion liturgy, the Great Thanksgiving, it begins with the telling of the story. That God created the heavens and the earth, that God created humanity, and that humanity spurned God and chose to remove themselves from God's presence by sin. And then God, through time, through the prophets, continues to pursue humanity. And then in that liturgy, it says, in the fullness of time, God sent his Son. And Christ lives among us and lived our life, died our death so that we could live his life. And so as we come to Holy Communion this morning, We celebrate a pivotal moment in human history when God came from heaven to earth to show us the way, as the song goes, to give us a way back into that relationship with God through the forgiveness of sins and life now and life everlasting. And so as I think of the pivotal moments, those moments in my life that drew me closer to God, because that's a whole nother part of my story, is those moments that drew me to God. You know, as we read the Gospels and the stories in the New Testament, as Denny read this morning, it's all about pivotal moments. It's those moments when people encountered the risen Christ. You know, it's when encountered him as living too, at the time as the story of the disciples. Can you imagine, what would you have done if Jesus had walked up to you while you were fishing and said, you know, you can leave that behind and come follow me? And they all do. You know, there's not even a moment's hesitation. What about a pivotal moment of leaving that life to go and follow Christ? And then the story of the prodigal son, yes, it's a parable, but I know people, and you probably know people, and maybe even yourself, that you reached a time in your life where you hit rock bottom, and you came to your senses, and you turned your life back to Christ, or turned to Christ for the first time. And then there's that wonderful story of Saul. Talk about a life-changing moment. He wanted to wipe out Christianity, and what happens? Christ encountered him on the road, and his life was changed. Story after story after story in the New Testament is about people encountering Christ, and their life has changed. For some, it was a rejection and going away, but others, it was a newness and fullness of life beyond anything they could ever have imagined. And so I look at the pivotal moments in my walk with Christ. Now, in some denominations, you have that born-again moment, and you remember the date and the time, and people actually celebrate that day as their spiritual birthday. Now, I don't know, I don't celebrate it, and I don't remember the exact date, but I remember the moment. But it wasn't its own moment. There have been those pivotal moments in my walk of faith even before I knew I was in my walk of faith. I attended a Lutheran private school when I was young, so a seed or two were planted then. Mrs. Wall, my sixth grade teacher, you know, who would have known that she was planting seeds of faith until I started going to church and I heard the song Morning Has Broken, because I learned that song on the auto harp and had sung that song in school, in a public school, and yet she planted a seed of faith. There's the tugging of my heart in Craig, Colorado, as I was drawn to attend that church there, the first church I ever joined, and then my home church in Las Vegas, the church where I actually, in a moment by myself, gave my life to Christ, and then my call to ministry unfolded. It's been pivotal moments one after the other, the seminaries, the places I've been, the ministries I've gone to. I look back and I think every one of those turns. But some of you, how many of you have been in church your whole lives? You cannot imagine a time that you did not know God. Okay? Now, you may think, I don't have those pivotal moments, but I guarantee you do, because there have been times in the quiet, times in prayer, times in worship, times when you've been maybe grieving or you've been ill and the Spirit of God's moved in your life or sent that one person to you that you needed in a moment. You know, those pivotal moments that draw us deeper and deeper, deeper into our relationship with Christ happen all the time, if we open our eyes and our hearts and our spirits. And what is true for our personal lives is also true in our corporate life together. You know, I don't know the history of this church really, really well, but I know parts of it. And for those who've been around a while, they know the stories really, really well. But there's those moments where it went from a fellowship to receiving its charter as a church, the different facilities it was in, to this one here, the different pastors that have come along the way. And if you don't remember their faces, they're lined up in the hallway. But I've noticed something about the pastors on the wall, is you don't get up there till you're posthumous. In other words, you're gone before you get up on the wall. And maybe that's a good thing, because it reminds us that's the past, and now there's a present. Bishop Bob has put me back here for another year, and I'm glad to be back. I am. But I think God's ready to do another pivotal moment, because every church has its ups and downs. But God is not done with us yet. There's work to be done in this community, and it doesn't matter if we're young or we're old. It doesn't matter, because God can use us at every stage. I always say to people, I'm too old. You need to read the Bible. You know, like, there's a lot of really, really even older than older people in the Bible who are very significant in the work of God. God is not done with us. And so today, as we gather around the table of communion, we remember that this is the most pivotal moment in human history, and that God is still writing the divine story. Yes, we have the New Testament, but it doesn't end with the last book of the Old Testament. New Testament is still happening. There are still stories to tell, and there are still people, as Joy sang for us this morning, who need the Lord. One of the things that really caught my attention when I was out walking in Tahoe were the young people I passed, and I have never seen such hollow, blank, empty faces in my life. There are a lot of people in our world who are lost, who don't have a clue what life is about, who have gotten so caught up in the hate. But it doesn't have to be that way. One encounter between us and one other person is a pivotal moment. So I invite us to step forward today as a new beginning. On a pivotal moment in the life of our church, as we love one another, as we act in justice, and we love like Jesus. Thanks be to God. Amen.